Thank you for being here on such short notice. I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test and I take full responsibility for it. For the past 10 years, I have been given a medicine called Mildronate by my doctor, by my family doctor. And a few days ago after I received the ITF letter, I found out that it also has another name of Meldonium, which I did not know. It's very important for you to understand that for 10 years, this medicine was not on WADA's banned list, and I had been legally taking the medicine for the past 10 years. But on January 1st, the rules had changed, and Meldonium became a prohibited substance, which I had not known. I was given this medicine by my doctor for several health issues that I was having back in 2006. I was getting sick a lot. I was getting the flu every couple of months. I had irregular EKG results, as well as indications of diabetes with a family history of diabetes. I thought it was very important for me to come out and speak about this in front of all of you, because throughout my long career I have been very open and honest about many things, and I take great responsibility and professionalism in my job every single day, and I made a huge mistake, and I've let my fans down. I've let the sport down that I've been playing since the age of four, that I love so deeply. I know that with this, I face consequences, and I don't want to end my career this way, and I really hope that I will be given another chance to play this game. And I know many of you thought that I would be retiring today and announcing my retirement, but if I was ever going to announce my retirement, it would probably not be in a downtown Los Angeles hotel with this fairly ugly carpet. And I will be taking a few questions.
Okay. So,
I'm telling you, crickets. So, ladies. So, it was, let me go first. So, it was 3 o'clock. I tell a lie. It was 2:55, and my good girlfriend, Janina Laverne, Laverne is not her middle name, but I just like Laverne. She sent me, one of those tweets saying, message, like, oh, my God, I have to go and stream this news conference. And I was like, fuck, I'm at work. Somebody got to pay me. I want to be home. So I went online, and I'm clicking, and I found a link to this thing. I was on the phone trying to multitask, and as soon as Maria said, I failed the drug test, I told the woman on the phone who was in the middle of helping me what I needed, said, miss, I'm so sorry. I have to call you back. No word. Actually, fans, this is our second podcast, number 45. We actually recorded a podcast yesterday, but unfortunately, anything we said is
no longer relevant.
I mean, we are not worthy to put that podcast out. Because literally, we all thought that, well, most of us suspected that Maria was going to retire today. So technically, she might have to retire. But anyway, that's a whole other story later for that. But, I mean, we had a discussion. We had a Kato Kalen part 2 roll up on the podcast unexpectedly and was padding the proceed to talk about it. And then all of a sudden, it was not that. So, Janina, Lavon, what were you doing?
I was at work. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking around to see, who's around my office. Can I stream this? Because I wanted to watch. I didn't want to just hear audio. So I turn it on, and I'm listening, and she says she failed a doping test, and I pound my fist on the desk, and I was like, ah! And I've got people going, like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing, nothing, everything's fine.
Andre, what was going on with you?
Oh, God, it's so horrible. So I'm so good, right? Let me just pat myself on the back because I put it on my phone. I put it on my calendar. Maria Sharapova press conference at noon. I look down. I see that it was 11:54. I proceed to open up.
She's in California, folks. She's in California.
Yes. I open up my phone.
She and Maria around the same time.
Exactly. I open up my phone. I actually could have driven downtown, I guess. But I open up my phone, and I started to watch Tennis Channel on the Tennis Channel through my DirecTV app. Mm. At the same time, I happened to open up my Twitter, and I, because I was like, okay, if it doesn't come, because it was whirling, whirling, whirling.
Mm-hmm.
I open up my Twitter, and I go to my DM, and I get a DM from our fabulous old ex-co-host, Bridge P, the Spin, and she says, surely the WTA must know what this is about. And then she says, no one has said a doping violation. And she says, her parents are there as well. This is not a sugar program thing. And then within 20 seconds of Maria saying that she failed her test, Karen Ben tags me again and says, oh, my God, I told you. And the next thing I know, we are actually – the whole statement's over, and then Karen immediately calls me, and I'm talking to her, and my reaction is actually a profound sadness. You know, because I'm a cynic and everything, mm-hmm. but I was just tremendously sad because, first of all, I didn't realize they were going to take off the head, you know. You know, when you're going to sacrifice, you usually sacrifice a leg, a toe.
Right.
You know, I really didn't think you were going to go for the knee. Yeah, you're not going to go for the head. So I think I immediately tweeted something like that. I was like, I did not expect this sacrificial lamb. So I was completely bowled over by it. I didn't think it was, you guys won't be able to tell, but I didn't say it was a retirement press conference. I thought it was going to be an injury / I'm going on surgery leave, and
that's what I was thinking. I don't think, honest to God, and I'm remembering that whole hour and a half podcast that we have.
Yeah.
I don't think you said that. And
yeah,
when you had Jane on, Jane who just invited, no, the hostess, who invited herself on a one-year anniversary, invited someone of a guest of a guest, and he said he just didn't know it was a retirement, and we all thought it was retirement. But you know what? Now that you said the word cynic, I, at this point, I'm kind of upset with myself, because me being a cynic, I was just like, what the fuck? I didn't even think of doping.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys, because it did not cross my mind one time that this had anything to do with doping. Did you think of it at all?
Not at all, because the reality is this has not been, let's be honest, this is not the way tennis has handled doping.
Exactly.
It is not attempted to be this transparent. I'm not saying it's very transparent. I'm just saying this type of transparency is new, right? You know, a 6 month out, whatever. I'm not saying that there isn't a lot going on with the way we're presented with this one, too, because I think there's a lot to unpack from this.
Mm-hmm.
But I really just didn't expect that. I didn't expect doping. It's hilarious to me that we've been talking about so many things.
Yeah.
And it's doping. I mean, I'm like, is she having a baby?
Exactly. No one said doping.
No.
And I'm just like, why?
It never crossed my mind.
Does that mean that in the end there's a strain of innocence in us still?
Possibly. Well, very small.
No. Hold up. I'm going to go with your first answer, Andre. When it comes to doping, WTA and ATP don't handle it like this. I mean, need we forget Martina Hingis? She was just like, I feel this shit. Fuck you, bitches. I'm going home for 2 years. Fuck this shit. I don't need this shit. I don't need you to test anything over. I don't need anything. And she certainly won't hold in a press conference to tell anybody she's sorry. Hey, Maria, you could have said you kissed Grigor and everybody would have believed it would fail the test.
Well, and the last one was the last two were Chilich and Troitsky. And they were all very sort of
hush,
strange.
Hush,
we didn't find out about them until later, and very problematic. So I just really didn't know that it was. I mean, that's basically why I didn't expect the press conference.
If I'm not mistaken, both men got reduced sentences.
Well, okay. and Maria still has the option, because remember, arbitration hasn't happened yet. There's still that whole road to go.
Yeah, so let's talk about this process. Let's talk about exactly what happened. Let's break it down like only we can and start from the beginning.
Well, let's start at the beginning. What is melatonin? Is that what I'm saying it right? A melatonin? No, that's something.
It's not melatonin. Melatonin is that secret little gummy that I give my son when I want him to go to sleep.
No, it's
Meldonium.
Yeah,
Meldonium.
Meldonium, or as she knew it as, if I'm not mistaken, she said she knew it as.
She knew it as the drug. Yeah, she knew it as the drug that sold. Mildronate.
Yes.
Which we need to clarify for everyone. Same exact thing.
Except it is the commercial name of the drug.
Right.
Sold and manufactured in Latvia.
Yes. For example, just as a reference point, you go to the store and you buy Tylenol, right? But you're actually getting ibuprofen. There's always two names or more, even for a drug. There's the commercial name and there's the scientific name. So that's what's going on here. That's why it's being called two different things. So,
and the thing to note, though, mm-hmm. is that it is not yet approved by the FDA for use in the United States. So you can really only get this drug in Latvia, and it's the country's, apparently it's one of the country's largest exports, which is like, they've made $65 million in 2003, apparently, 2013, for this drug.
So, according to, if I may, Roidvisor, which is a performance-enhancing drug, with an article published in October 17, 2015, by Darius Postovsky, he noted as saying that Meldonium was first developed and marketed by the Latvia-based pharmaceutical company Grindex. It has been used clinically as an anti-ischemic drug to treat patients with angina and myocardial infarction.
Infarction.
Of interest to athletes is the finding that it is consistently and significantly improves exercise tolerance. Some pharmaceutical companies have recently marketed explicitly as a performance-enhancing drug. It is also used as a smart drug, in quotation, by non-athletes. Athletes have been using it for over 5 years.
So
that's some background on the drug itself.
Yes, and just to like bring that down to a very basic level, what it does is increases oxygen flow, which in turn increases recovery. It speeds up your recovery time, and it increases your endurance. Two things that are super important in tennis.
Exactly.
Now, the interesting thing, let's go back to Maria's statement, because let's ask this question. According to her, she started taking this drug in 2006.
Yes.
So she's been taking this drug for 10 years, and she started taking it because she had irregular results in an EKG, a family history of diabetes, and she was constantly getting the flu.
And for a magnesium deficiency.
Yes. Magnesium deficiency. Okay.
So I reached out to my friend who is a nurse, has been for quite some time, was an ER nurse, and is very familiar with works of the heart. And she was not super familiar with this drug, but she looked it up real quick and she goes, oh, it's an anti-ischemic drug, or however you say it. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, tell me this, because I understood it from the press conference that she had one irregular EKG. That was the phrasing. Whether or not she just didn't expand upon that or just misspoke or whatever, but that's what she said. I asked my friend, under any circumstances, is someone going to be put on medication because they had one abnormal EKG result? She said, absolutely not. Furthermore, I told her about the magnesium deficiency, and she said, well, it is it's a known cause that a magnesium deficiency can cause a heart arrhythmia, which just means an irregular beating of the heart. It might go too fast or it might go too slow, but that can be caused by a magnesium deficiency. However, the first line of defense in treating that would just be to take an over-the-counter magnesium supplement. You wouldn't be put on a prescription drug. And furthermore, she said, I don't know where the whole diabetes thing is coming in because that is completely unrelated medically to any of that.
Well, this is a prescription drug that she got, not in America, because no doctor in America would prescribe this drug to her or anywhere else in the world except in Russia and in Latvia.
Well, that's what's interesting. What's interesting to me is like, okay, fine. You have... none of those diseases or none of the issues that Maria listed are reasons to get this drug. And there's no reason to go to some special place for this drug because it's not a drug that people are using it. They're not typically using it for these reasons.
Right.
Right?
If you have those kind of issues, this is not the typical drug. This is not the typical go-to drug.
No, it's not. Especially not in America. And that's what we have to clarify there because we all know that Maria spends the majority of her time in America.
She lives in California.
Right. It is commonly prescribed for heart conditions in Latvia and in Russia. And she's, she's Russian. But, again, the way that she worded that doesn't really sound like she has a heart condition per se.
But no, it was just an irregular result. And you know what? Let's be fair.
So is she telling me that she has an ongoing issue with her heart?
That's what she's not saying.
She didn't say that. She just simply said that she had irregular EKG results. And and to be fair, it was fine for her to take this substance for the last 10 years. It has been fine for her to do it. It only became a banned substance recently.
Right.
And the reason why it became a banned substance was because apparently WADA started to notice meldonium in urine samples they just started to notice a lot of athletes having this, and so they thought to themselves, we better go figure out why this thing is showing up so much in athletes' urine. They can't all have heart problems that they
need. Right, right. You do not have an epidemic of heart disease among elite athletes. It's just not happening.
To be fair, athletes usually have a larger heart than the average person.
Yeah, and it works really well. Just saying. But people also might be wondering, well, how is she getting this drug? And really, that's quite simple. Anybody can go on the internet and order a drug, because that was my first thing. I'm like, well, who the hell's giving it to her? Like, no doctor, no Russian doctor is coming to the U.S. and prescribing something. It doesn't work that way. Your license doesn't go from place.
So apparently it raised their red flag enough. I mean, that's what's interesting to me, right? Because if you're noticing meldonium in people's urine sample, the initial question is, why are athletes doing this? What could possibly be going on? So apparently, when WADA decides to monitor a drug, WADA does a ton of literature review on what happens when you take meldonium and its effect on sports physiology. Mm-hmm. And then they kept trying to get a repeatable, accurate, and reliable test for meldonium. They have to make sure they got it. And then they did an analysis of apparently 8,300 or so random doping control urine sample for the presence of it.
And obviously it was found present enough for it to become a problem.
For them. And then what they started to notice, though, was they started to notice all the things that you pointed out, which was key for them, which was the increased endurance properties and aerobic capabilities of athletes, improved functional parameter of heart activity, which you talked about, Janina, increased physical work capability, so now people can actually do more work for longer, and increased rate of recovery. And then it also functions and protects you against stress. So think about that in tennis. We know that's a big thing.
Also, one of the good things about meldonium is that it is relatively safe and a non-toxic drug.
Yep.
And athletes use it in its performance-enhancing dosage of 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a day. in divided dosage, preferably prior to training in order to take advantage of its stimulant properties. Mm. Now, here is my question. So, there are substances which, I mean, is it the mere presence of it it's problematic, or is it the level of it that's problematic?
Mm, that's
because
interesting.
To me, if there is no way, according to the article, the research literature we did, it is that in order for it to have this stimulant properties, for this performance enhancing properties, you have to use 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams per day. Is this the same dosage you use for the EKG and to prevent diabetes? Is it this?
Well, let's not even say that because it isn't preventing any diabetes. Let's not even go down that road.
What was interesting though is that where they found it though, Janina. What they found was when they did a sampling of it, it wasn't necessarily found in team sports, but it was found in a lot of endurance sports.
Of course.
And a lot of strength and a lot of strength sports.
Of course, it only makes sense.
Yeah, so you know, so what's noteworthy about it is that if this was something that you would just give to deal with, say, challenging heart issues, you should realistically see it across the board, right?
Comparably.
But it was really, really something you're only seeing in certain types of sports for which it would be beneficial.
Right.
So then you have to extrapolate on some level.
Think about the everyday drug testing world. Like when you go get a job and you have to take a urine test or a blood test, there's always there's an amount that's allowed to be in your system.
Right. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So there has to be some kind of gauge. If you know, I have no idea how it's measured. I don't have a medical background. I don't know. But my guess is if it is trace amounts, it's probably not that big of a deal. And it is also my understanding that this drug only stays in your system for a couple of days anyways. So
I wonder how often you're taking it.
Exactly.
Well, according to this,
for medicinal purposes. How much was she taking it?
Right. But you see, my problem is that, I guess we haven't gotten to this section yet, but my question is that I would like Maria Sharapova to tell me that she was completely ignorant of the fact that this drug had any kind of performance-enhancing capability.
Well, why would she need to tell you that? The drug was legal. This is the thing. You can't confuse what we now know about it.
Wait, because that
gets things confusing.
Because why I'm asking this question is because WADA let it be known that there were several drugs on their monitoring list at the beginning of 2015. And this was one of the drugs.
But that confuses the question. That confuses the issue, Rails. I mean, what I'm saying, because she's taking it for medical reasons. That's her rationale. She's taking it for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's not illegal.
And also we have to point out that there are tons of illegal drugs that you are allowed to take if you are taking them for a medical reason.
You have to declare it in and out
of competition and things like that.
Right.
She didn't even need to declare this drug because as far as WADA was concerned, it was a legal substance to use all the way up until October 2015.
No, until December 31st, 2015.
Well, no, but they put out the press release October 2015
right.
to let you know that the substance
beginning on January 1st, 2016 is now prohibited.
Yeah, is now prohibited.
But my thing is that my issue is that like she had to, because it's WADA would have notified athletes before, saying there are some drugs. These are the drugs that we're doing some monitoring on because we've noticed these things. It's not a surprise. WADA has no reason to surprise people with any like, oh, gotcha, you were taking this, gotcha.
Because she did not perform due diligence. That was clear. She said she didn't click the link, right?
No, the link came afterwards, right? My point is that like did she not know at the beginning of the year that they were monitoring this for some reason?
No, the link came. No, that's exactly what she said in the follow-up question. She said she received a letter in December with a list of the prohibited drugs. She did not click the link to see the list because her drug was never on the list. She didn't look at the list. And so it was entirely her responsibility for not looking at the list to see that now her drug is a banned substance.
I get all of that, but I guess I don't know if I'm explaining.
I understand what you're saying, Reels. You're just saying, like, at the end of the day, she even if she didn't know, the information was there for the knowing whether or not she chose.
No, not necessarily that. No. No, I'm saying is that's like, for example, let's say I am doing, I'm clocking in 15 minutes late in work all the time, right?
Yeah.
And it's okay to do that. And my company at some point say, you know, look, we are looking into whether or not clocking in 15 minutes late is illegal or not.
Yeah.
Was she aware that at some point Wada was like, we're looking into that drug?
No. Because
she
She's saying no, because if she was, if you know that your boss is checking in on time and they then send you a list in December about time, you would then double check to make sure. So she should have looked at the list. Theoretically, if she was monitoring or if someone in her camp was monitoring, they would have known that her drug that she's taking was actually on the danger list starting January 2015.
Right, that's what I'm wondering, yes.
Yeah, she's saying that she didn't know any of that.
That's her claim. Now, the claim is that no one... Now, this is interesting because... Now, let's... I believe, Reels, you had an encounter where you spoke with an athlete who is constantly monitoring what they take in their bodies.
Yes. Not just in tennis, okay? People, just as much as I love and passionate about tennis, I follow tons and tons of sports. And when I tell you, pro athlete would not accept anything from a random stranger, not even a drink. Bill Cosby got an athlete. Trust me, Bill Cosby didn't get any athlete because of that same shit. And so I was witness to an incident, and I would say it's Aga Radwanska, and there she is sputtering and coughing and literally choking. Water is coming out of her eyes. She's gasping for breath during a press conference. And a kind journalist offers her a cough drop. We're all looking at the woman taking out the cough drop, pop one in her mouth as well, and offering it to her. Radwanska took the cough drop, looked at it, and said, oh no, I'm so sorry. She said, can I get some water? She said, it looks like the one that we get in Poland, but it's not. It's in Russian or in some other language. She said, I can't take this because I don't know what is in it. And there she is, literally choking, dying to death. So when I tell you athletes, pro athletes, not just tennis players, they are super. So when you hear that excuse, they're saying, like, I took it, so I went to the dentist, and this happened. No. That's all PC talk. That is all some kind of, I guess it would be like, athlete splaining away something. Because trust me, they are very, very particular and meticulous as well going to their body. Even if it's not for doping control. I mean, athletes have to be athletes. Their body is their weapon, basically. So you have to be so in tune to whether it is achy today, not achy today, or how fast it can go. They're very, very in tune to their body. So let me
ask y'all, what do you all find suspect about the actual presser?
Well,
that happened today. So tell me, y'all, what do y'all think about it? The actual thing.
The most suspect
is a red flag for you.
Well, the most suspect thing to me is that it sounds so incredibly stupid that she just didn't check the link. That just, it sounds so stupid, I feel like it can't be made up. Honestly, that's where I'm at with that. That's what really sticks out in my mind. Like, she says in front of the world today, I got an email. I knew what it was about. I needed to click a link to actually check it, and I didn't do it. And now I have failed a doping test. That sounds so dumb. It just sounds like the worst excuse in the world. And I'm like, would somebody really make that up?
Yes, they would.
Beyond that, the most suspect thing for me, I'm like, okay, she gives her presser, good to go. Tennis Channel comes back to Lindsay Davenport and Brett, what's his name, Huber?
Haber.
Haber. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, I have to go. I'm invited to a private meeting to get some more information. What the fuck? What's private? Everything was, is as stupid as it sounded, everything was okay, because here you have this athlete who failed a doping test. She lets the world know. It doesn't come out in some weird, you know, Daily Mail article or some shit. And here it is. And then the media lets it be known that there's shit going on behind the scenes. And they specifically said that it was private by invite only, and only a select group of the media were there. And what was interesting, the part that we didn't play, was the question and answer part of the presser, because we have touched on this a little bit, how in every other sport besides tennis, the journalists say, you know, I'm Janina Reed from ESPN or whatever, you know. You could tell who were tennis people and who were not, because the non-tennis people stated their name. They stated which media outlet they were working for. But yet, Lindsay Davenport's, she's invited to the private meeting. Why? That's what was suspect.
For you, Reels?
Okay.
Because I think we can come right back to Janina's point in a little bit right now.
So I got ahead of time, and, you know, I was there waiting. I was like, girl, you said 3 o'clock. Where the hell are you? And I was there watching, and someone came out testing. And she came out, and she pulled a note from somewhere. I think it was folded. And I was like, so this is well rehearsed somewhere, and we have a script.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a moment where I almost had feelings, where she almost cried. And then I was like, you almost got me. But then no, because that moment never repeated itself throughout the entire proceeding, before and after.
And she was obviously a nervous wreck, but the emotion wasn't quite right.
No.
She got choked up a few times, really.
Her voice was shaky. I don't think we've ever heard Maria speak with a shaky voice.
Her voice shook a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
I mean, even if you want to dismiss it as performance, she performed well so that her voice shook up.
Okay, all right. But she get a nomination. She'll get a nomination, but she won't get my vote. And I think what really got to me, I think, despite the whole proceeding. So, Harry, I think, in fact, you're having this press conference to somehow, come clean and then beg for mercy, right? Because basically, athletes during a ban, they have to basically beg for mercy, put up some kind of excuse, and because the rules are clear. WADA stated that if, according to WADA rule, you fail this drug test and you have melatonin in your system, 4 years ban for first time offense. 4 years, 365 days times four. And
so that's what they said in the actual press release once this became known, right?
That's what WADA said, yes, in their information package that they send out.
Okay.
And you can check WADA's website for all of this, people.
So basically, that's what she said. She said that in her presser. I really hope I will be given a chance to play this game again.
Right. But you know what really pissed me off? Mm-hmm. When she said, and people talk, she said, you know, I know many of you came here thinking that it was going to be a retirement, but I certainly wouldn't do it in this hotel, in a downtown hotel with this capital. I think, you know, bitch, you coming to somebody's house and trying to do this and tell them that their place is dirty? That ain't right. That is so fucking foul.
No, but you know what, though? Can I tell you how I received that?
Very Maria-like?
No, what I thought was really interesting about that is, in some ways, she's checking the very media who chose to run with the story that it was a retirement. Because how could you take yourself seriously as media and think that I would show up to tell you I'm retiring in this sleazebag hotel? Obviously, if I'm going to do this, I'm forced to do this, and I'm compelled to do this.
Exactly. And this was all a strategic point to pick this place. And forgive me for calling Maria a bitch. I didn't mean it in that manner at all.
Yes, you did.
Let's talk seriously about this. How the hell did no one ever suspect this? I'm fine that we didn't suspect this, but how come I was looking at every single legitimate tennis media the day before?
Nobody said a word.
It was all a retirement talk. all retirement. So let's talk
and
about the fact
that
let's talk about the fact that the legitimate media had no sense of this. What does that say?
Oh, no. Let's not assume that they had no sense of it, because we all know how incestuous tennis media is. Mm-hmm. They may have just flat out protected her.
That's interesting. Isn't it interesting? Because that's also, I have to say, that the response from legitimate media has been very intriguing. Very intriguing.
Well, I just want to put something out there, you know, because...
What?
In part of our part, on our first podcast question, when we were laboring under the impression that she was going to retire, we spoke about Andreen, you wax poetry, about how you would miss Maria, and how she
I have news. Breaking news.
Okay.
Nike suspends relationship with Maria Sharapova after the tennis star said she failed a drug test.
Well. Ooh, wow. Sponsors are dropping already.
All right, that's big. Okay, so let me just I'm just putting that out there. I may have to interrupt you as things come down. But I just want to show to you all that in some ways, look at the sponsor response compared to the media response.
Because actually, you know what? And people... Let us just because Nike propped up Tiger Woods when he was banging everybody. Well, he wasn't banging everybody. He was just banging blondes, left, right, and center, without a condom. And they stood by their man.
Black girl up there.
They stood by their man. Okay, so
listen, Nike's not buying the excuse apparently. Because let's think about it. Think about how the media has been reacting to this. What I found noteworthy, because the second time I listened to her statement, I noticed that all of the media used phrases that she used in her statement.
Exactly.
Did you notice that?
Yes, they did.
She said, I've been very open and honest.
That's what pissed me off the most. Everyone took what she said, dictation.
Yeah.
It was dictation. No one asked any critical question. No one asked the question that we ask. And, you know, let me just put this out there. Let us just put this on the table, because I know if we have our non-regular followers to listen, they would say that we are haters. You're absolutely fucking right. We are haters. Actually, let me not speak to ladies. Let me speak for myself. I am a hater. I hate judiciously. So you can check that box if you're ready to dismiss me. Two, you're going to say that, you know, like, there are people of color, there are black people, and there are Serena stans. No, we're not. We are not. If you listen to a podcast, you would hear me check Serena several times, both for fashion, both for tennis, both for other issues related to tennis. I check her. I check everybody because I hate judiciously. So you could put an X in that box. Andreen is a huge Maria fan. She loves Maria.
I do. I love all the oldies, and Maria is one of them. Now, let's think about this. This is what I found interesting about the Sharapova press conference is that I felt that it was in some sense I don't want to say collusion because that sounds like a heavy word. Why does it feel like it happened all together with tennis anti-doping program?
Because it did. Because
look at the way, like, Christopher Clare tweeted out the statement from the doping program, and look at the sequence. On January 26th, she provided the doping sample. Then the sample was analyzed. In accordance, she was charged with on the 2nd of March. And then she gets the provisional ban. Then they're pending a determination of the case on December 12th. She's like provisionally suspended.
Also, she doesn't get to go to the Olympics.
We can talk
about that in a minute.
But think about this. She's provisionally she's provisionally suspended from the 12th, you know, from March 12th, mm-hmm. and then she gets to have this press conference on March 7th. It just feels like they...
Very orchestrated.
No, sorry. Repeat that. Repeat that timeline again.
You said 12. So she finds out that she has... she failed the test on the 2nd of March.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The ban, the suspension, is going to start on March 12th, which is next week. Okay. And then she gets a chance to have her press conference this week.
No, that's not how it usually works. She has to give back all the Australian Open points.
Well, she will. She'll have to, right?
Yes. You lose all points in that competition going forward.
Yeah.
From whatever, wherever, like, in any other sport, it should be. However, Now, we must put something here. People, we are talking water here, okay? But mm-hmm. we know tennis is magical and mysterious. Yeah. And we know we have, you know, there are some units and some things that do that get paid but don't do anything. So uh-huh. it's up to ITF to do whatever, not to do what they want to do. However, if she's going to play the Olympics, it's going to be a different story. That
despite, well, she can't play the Olympics.
Right.
She
won't, so that,
it's already yes. bad. I mean,
okay, wait a minute. Listen. And mm-hmm. I wish I lost the article because I read so much stuff today. So much.
So tell me what.
The president of the Russian Olympic Committee
yes.
said, he said, this was an honest mistake, and she's going to play the Olympics if I have anything to do with it. That's basically what he said. So you better believe that Russia is going to fight for her and try to get her on that Olympic team. And my guess is she'll be there.
No, hold you know up, what? Hold you, hold wait, up. Wait. They're gonna have to fight for her because they're going to have to fight
for themselves.
Else.
Everybody
because every
else.
Other Russian athlete is having the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because what did we find out? That a figure skater also tested for this?
So a pair. Wasn't it two of them? A pair of them.
Well, there might have been, but all I saw was the woman. So let me just say, the Russians might fight for this because this is going to impact more of their athletes than not.
Yeah, because right. Dick Pound has said, the former Wada had said, look, you basically have to ban Russia because they're just fucking out of control. Now, look, I'm sorry. You see, this is what pisses me off.
Yep.
These are the things that pisses me off with these kind of organizations. First and foremost, Maria Sharapova is not the only person who has been banned for this drug.
Nope.
She's not.
So she can't get a pass.
So she can't get a pass. If Maria can't get a pass, then we're going to have some issues. Because, you know, mysteriously, you wouldn't believe what the color of the people who have been banned and where they're from. Let's take a guess. Are they from Russia?
Well, we have to talk about we have to talk about the people. The other people who have been banned for this substance are Ethiopian.
Mm.
So if Maria gets a pass,
and you know
for
what
her,
they're famous for?
For her marathon running. So for some reason this drug found its way to Ethiopia. And so what I'm gonna say is you can't say bye bye to Maria's positive drug test because she has a nice reason. And the other ones as well. You just can't.
Well, you would hope that you can't, but we shall see.
Maria can't get into the Olympics, any of these things, because I'm telling you, ITF, if you do this, I am telling you, Reels is going on a campaign, and Wayne Obesnik is fucking coming back and playing tennis.
Okay, but
playing tennis.
Let's skip the BS. Now let's get into the real tea.
Well... Mm-hmm. The ITF has already said that there may be nothing that happens if they decide it was an honest mistake.
Well, that's always the thing.
But this is not an honest mistake.
But this is the thing.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because that's what happened with Cilic, right? Cilic, it was deemed that wasn't Cilic like
his mommy gave him something, right?
That's bullshit.
But this is the thing, though. You can always petition them because this is now she has to deal with the arbitration process where she now. But the interesting thing about Maria Sharapova is Maria Sharapova got ahead of the game in terms of fighting this in popular opinion.
Right? Exactly.
In the court of popular opinion, she's gotten her case out. Which is sort of weird because it's kind of like you're tainting the jury pool. But
they've tried this before, you know. They've tried this before. In 2000, Andrea Radakan failed a drug test at the Olympics, the all-around gymnastic gold test. And now that substance is no longer banned by WADA. She's trying to petition to get her gold back. However, what they decided to do wasn't ban her from the games. She was supposed to go home. They let her continue and just took away the all-around gold. They didn't take away the team gold because she's part of the team. Meanwhile, when America 4x4 team members got in trouble with Marion Jones, they had to go petition to get their gold medal back because they took away everybody's gold medal. So you see,
Let's not get this confused because the Olympics isn't happening yet. Let's deal with what's happening now. Let's talk about what this would have been like if this had been Serena giving us this presser.
Why are you saying it's Serena, though?
Because matters.
Because it matters. Because you know what? Because who is Maria's foil?
Okay.
Who's fair her point. Foil?
I just wanted to put it out there. Just so
that's
you know.
What I mean. Who's right. her foil? Her foil.
And let's talk about if it were Roger. And let's talk about when. No, sorry, if it were Nolay. No, and if it was.
Let's be honest. If it was Roger, I'm a huge Roger fan, but he'd be getting the same sort of pass that Maria is getting in terms of the language that we're using around her. Yep. Because you know what? No, but a big part, of the way this is being covered in the media is really about how the media feels about how Maria was in the past, right? Because you're always judged.
Tennis is sweetheart.
Yeah, and also just because her elevation of the sport elevates them as well. It's a symbiotic relationship, isn't it? Love. So on some level, they feel a sense of gratitude even to her because of how accessible she's made herself, how amenable she is in many ways. Now, you know, it's like if she was an unpleasant person, I guarantee you that would affect the coverage.
Sorry.
So far, every single person I've seen that covers tennis has been I think
sympathetic.
Sympathetic.
No.
It's a legitimate mistake.
No.
Have you seen anyone challenge that narrative
narrative, but you know what? I have no faith in any of these motherfuckers, and I'm calling them motherfuckers, because those people sat down and ate that bullshit excuse from Richard Gasquet telling me he kissed some girl with cocaine on her lips in some club, and it's okay for him to come back and no one questioned their system. And I saw, and I'm not saying I heard, I saw these same motherfuckers with my two eyes, actually four because I wear glasses, and I heard them with my two fucking ears trying to shade Marin Cilic about his drug test. And he came up with such another bullshit excuse too when he beat Federer. They were like, Federer had to shut that shit down and say, look, Marin Cilic was capable of playing good tennis before. But nobody wasn't looking at that, right? Everybody was looking at the fact that Marin Cilic failed a drug test and he got banned.
So what's your point?
So my point is just like, you can't try to tell these same people can't be like, they're so inconsistent is who it is, right? So here you have, we're gonna throw Marin Cilic under the bus because we don't like him, and he from an Eastern, and we don't like Marin Cilic. But all of a sudden, Maria giving you the same BS, and you're going to buy that story now? But then when it's Richard Gasquet, you buy his BS. So we're picking and choosing whose BS we're buying. And no one asking, and despite all of this, no one is asking any critical question. No one from this tension. I ain't got time for this bullshit. In my opinion, Maria Sharapova knew exactly what this drug was doing. She knew how it was affecting her body, and she was using it for the benefit. And I'm just putting that out there. I am just putting that out there. People can quote me, and people get mad.
I think
that she probably thought that somehow they probably wouldn't have.
But this is a question, though. But this is a question. If you know that you're taking a substance that has dodgy properties, and you're grateful that it's legal, and don't you check that list?
That's what I was asking earlier. That's what I meant.
Well, you would that, hope.
Right?
You would
because
hope.
If, yeah. Like, if I know that I'm getting away with the clock changing back or some weird shit at my job, and I find out that my employer is onto it, or I guess I'm not even monitoring this. This is the thing. Like, who? I have to say.
Here is my crazy thing, right? Here is my crazy thing.
What's
I know for
thing?
A fact. So, tennis is a very weird and crazy sport, right? Like, when you do track and field and, like, the Olympics and one of those things, like track and field and swimming and whatever, they randomly test people. But first, second, third, fourth, and fifth place are always tested. Just in case gold medal loses, you know, like we got to take that shit away because he or she failed a drug test. We don't have a similar problem with number four and the people who get move up. And in quite recently, in fact, in the Commonwealth Games, I think, they had a situation where they had to take the fourth place medal place actually became the gold medalist because top three failed the drug test. But anyway. And here it is.
What's the point?
So, hold on. So, Maria, in my mind, I think Maria knew that when she took... So, in tennis, not everyone gets tested. So, everyone can basically go through several tournaments without being tested, as I understand the road to be.
Yeah.
So, I can be at a tennis tournament and win the tournament altogether. And it just, I just wasn't randomly tested.
Right.
But in my mind, I knew Maria knew when she took that test on January 26th. She knew she was going to fail, and hence why she did not play a single tournament afterwards.
Quite possibly.
And that's why she had time to craft this narrative just in case they found out and they told her, they gave her an ultimatum. Because all of this is so very suspect, because Wada communicated with her and be like, girl, I'm so sorry. You tested positive, girl, but you know what? This is, we got to do this, you know, whatever. And she knew. Because I know Maria is extremely injured, supposedly, but she didn't play shit. And usually...
Well, she got the test March 2nd, and she immediately withdrew from Indian Wells.
Right.
She was supposed to sign up for Dubai. What Will's saying is she knew that damn well
that she pissed dirty in Australia, and that's why she hasn't done anything since.
But you know what? Honest to goodness, somebody said that many, many years ago. I can't freaking remember this person that says, if you get caught for doping, you're an idiot. Who gets caught for doping like this, though?
Is this a situation? Everybody in track and field said this all the time.
Yeah, but is this a situation where Maria just assumed that she wouldn't get called to the carpet if she tested positive?
Because, like, again, I don't know if things are changed up and whatever, but my understanding from what the players, and this is not my making this up, but what players have implied through the grapevine, is that you know in advance when you're going to be tested. You kind of know.
Well, and we need to look at the big picture here. There's a lot going on in tennis right now, so mm-hmm. it is time to call somebody out on mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of surprising that the sacrificial lamb may be the great Maria Sharapova.
Shocking.
But how long have we heard from everyone, tennis media, those who choose to speak out, that if tennis is going to clean up its act, somebody big is going to have to fall?
Yep.
Here you are.
I just didn't think they were going to make Maria be the fall guy, or fall girl. I just didn't think that. That's what shocks me most of all, to be honest.
Well, I guess they didn't think so too, but she pissed dirty, didn't she?
But my suspicion is that other people pissed dirty.
Of course they did.
Oh, yes.
See, this is my suspicion.
But and I so guarantee my mind, right
my
now.
Mind asks, my question is, who else pissed dirty? Who didn't read that banned list?
Who didn't click the link?
You know, I know that we, well, a lot of people hate Brad Gilbert because he talks so much. But sometimes you should listen to what he says.
Oh.
Because
we let
you have you, Janina.
Well, but the thing of it is, I mean, he goes on and on and on, but he really doesn't mince words too much. You know who he likes, who he doesn't like, who his favorites are. You know he has his ways of talking shit about people. He's pretty transparent. And, you know, I think he said it perfectly on Twitter today. He said he's still stunned that nobody on, of course, you know, with his nicknames, still stunned that nobody on Shaz's team checked the new list from WADA. Players are responsible, but this is a big-time oversight on the team as well. And there's nothing else to be said. If that's my story, I'm sticking to it. I didn't check the list. Shame on you, and shame on everybody that works for you, because you know damn well that everybody on her team knows what she is putting in her body. This is a multi.
Can I talk about the reaction that supposedly? I mean, I don't know. Are some of these people real fans or are they people? Now that Nike has dropped her, there are people saying that they're no longer going to be engaging with Nike. Are these people actually? There are people who are doing this on my timeline right now.
Are there people of significance or relevance?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, is this real? Oh, now people are accusing Nike of having a double standard.
I'm going to explain that.
Please explain what the double standard is. I'm assuming that they're thinking that Nike's suggesting a double standard because didn't Nike get rid of Manny Pacquiao recently? It seems like Nike's
A homophobic comment.
Yes. Who else did they want Nike to get rid of? Why is everyone suddenly explaining?
Nike's probably pretty damn dirty itself, and they need to clean their shit up too.
Yeah, because that guy was running Nike program in Oregon. I'll tell you his name. I don't want to make shit up now.
See, people are going to get...
Yes, Alberto Salazar, the coach of the Nike sponsor Oregon Project, has been accused of referring his athletes to drugs known for diagnosing the endurance athletes with hyperthyroidism and prescribing them this other drug for treatment. But that drug, Cytomel, is allowed by WADA to be as a performance enhancing drug that's legal to take at this point. Despite the fact that USADA and United Kingdom anti-doping organization have both aggressively lobbied for that drug to be placed on the anti-doping list. So there are other drugs that she could have been taking that could have been given her the same result, but you know, she just didn't check the list, didn't click the link.
Well, people are upset that they kept Tiger, but let's be honest. The reality is people are just accepting.
I wasn't doing anything illegal.
Here's the thing.
He was just immoral.
Exactly. And is the way that he behaved okay? No, it's not. But he wasn't busted doping. You can act however you want to act. You can fuck whoever you want to fuck. It's not illegal. So to say, oh, Nike stood by Tiger Woods after what he did, but not Maria Sharapova, that's not a double standard. It's not. She violated a rule. There is no rule, I'm sure, in Tiger Woods' contract saying you can only fuck your wife. That's a moral issue.
In fact, if that is the case, Nike has to drop everybody because the whole basketball, baseball, football program, they're fucking everybody.
It's all a mess.
I can find someone if they give him the money, he's right. But you know, we're not here for that. We're not here for that conversation.
To be honest, I think this is going to be one of those situations where she's going to have to take some hits publicly because that's what you're going to have to do publicly. You make a public statement and Nike has to make a public move. Listen, none of these companies cared when they were making money. But now it's a perfect opportunity to say, you know what, you've made this public statement.
Because she, think about it, people. She's of no use to Nike at this point when she's on a band.
Exactly.
She cannot go.
Nike fucking owns everybody. They don't need Maria anymore.
Yeah, but not only that, too. But let's think about this. We are not going to have the crackhead in front of our house trying to tell us about home ownership. We can't. He can't be the neighborhood spokesperson. It can't be the crackhead. So how is it that Maria Sharapova could be repping Nike at tennis tournament? She's on a ban. Kids can't go up and have a sign a ball for that madness. It ain't right.
So I guess I'm gonna have to take away the sign bag of Sharapova.
All right.
I just saw some tweet that said I feel like Melodonim just got a street name, Sharapova.
So where we want to go? How we want to wrap this up? What do we think about this whole mess? Where should we go from here?
I think it all seems, you know, like you said, Andrine, and honestly, it wasn't something I thought about until you talked about it. It does seem very orchestrated. It's incredibly orchestrated, and I don't like it because I don't think other athletes would be given the same opportunity.
Yeah, I'm reading some of these
tweets. To craft their narrative.
I'm reading some of these tweets, and it's just insane. I mean, Nike, I just read this one from, I don't want to give you any praise, mister, but if you think whatever. Nike acting like Maria needs them more than Nike needs her. Good luck designing for Vika and Bouchard. Come on, people, let's be 100 here. And let us just use what Maria said. She failed the drug test, and she's taking 100% responsibility for it. No, you cannot let Maria walk away from the situation unscathed. It's just not possible. I mean,
but you know what's interesting about this not being possible is that the tennis media, how do you want to see them handle this moving forward? Because I think that they are feeling like this is a tennis issue that they themselves have to protect when that's not their role. That's not their role.
First and foremost, people, Maria didn't say she failed a drug test. WADA told her, ITF showed her, she failed a drug test. In her mind, she was A-okay. Okay? So admitted something.
No, she said that. She did.
No. I'm saying like how people are putting this spin on it. That somehow
but honestly,
her admittance of this, of her wrongdoing, somehow makes our, you know, covers our sin. People, listen, let's be fair here.
You know what, though? I've I was one of those people that was had no problem with Wayne Odesnik doing his deed, paying his dues, and then getting out on the other side and not having people come at him. The problem is that tennis fans need to have their people clean at all the time, and because they want to have this space where they can't get to a space where they can forgive Maria, can't they admit that she did wrong, forgive her, and simply let her pay her dues?
Yes.
Like, it's like you don't have to pretend it didn't happen. You can say she did a bad thing, she should be punished, and let her take her punishment and then welcome her back if you want. But the problem is tennis doesn't know how to deal with dirty. So they just would rather it not be dirty at all.
Yeah.
I have a question I want to ask it. So, Maria, this is for you, Martha girl. Did you not tell Nike that you had failed the drug test? Because Nike come in late and all this shit.
No, Nike's knew. She made her sponsors aware. Listen, Maria got ahead of this. This is what I think is interesting. I think Maria got ahead of all of her sponsors. Maria is ultimately an extremely responsible person. And this is why the whole that she didn't know this.
Click an email is bullshit.
But this is what Maria did. When Maria got this thing, the first thing Maria would have done, as anybody does when you get, is call your employer. And who's your employer? Max. Your sponsor. Your employers are your sponsors. And so Mike Nike says, we're gonna suspend our relationship with you. You think that's a shock? She knows that. And any other sponsor that's going to suspend their relationship.
And her first question is, do I have to give you back any money? And yes, they said, no, you just get no more money.
And what will that mean?
That's good for me.
That's what they would have said to her. What does this mean? Listen, this is a business relationship. People are acting like Nike's having a personal relationship with me.
They're not here to hold your hand through the fucking court proceedings.
Yeah, it's a business relationship. They're going to say, Maria, you're going to be suspended for some time. What's the point of us paying you during that time anyway? You're not going to be able to wear our kit. You're not going to be able to do any of these things. We're going to let you go. And if you show some good faith, and depending on how tennis treats you, there might be room for you to return.
Yeah, people need to understand that this is a suspension.
Yes.
That word was used. That means that the relationship may be reinstated.
Exactly.
Quit jumping the gun, people. And this is exactly what's supposed to happen, because I'm going to tell you something. If it didn't happen, then you fucktards would be jumping down Nike's throat for going, oh, because what happens if she ultimately says, you know what? Okay, I lied. I knew exactly what this drug was. Blah, blah, blah. Let's just say that happens, and Nike did nothing and stood by an admitted doper. Then how do they look?
They can't.
Like
they
you said, this is a business relationship. Don't get your panties all up in a bunch because Nike said we're suspending the relationship. This is how it's supposed to happen. It's business.
And this is what Maria and her – listen, Maria and her people planned. You're telling – come on. This is why
this was all orchestrated.
You had an orchestrated press conference, then you had a private meeting with tennis to talk about how you're going to talk about this moving forward.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you had a meeting or conversations with your sponsors about how they're going to treat you. Some might have told you we're going to give you a provisional suspension. Some might have said this. Some might have said whatever. And then you just have to wait and see. You're going to wait and see how her sponsors are going to come out. Irrational fans do not need to get in Nike's face about being disloyal. It's a business, people. It's a business. What loyalty? Your loyalty is to come with a good face. If you don't come with a good face, they have the right to suspend that relationship until you clean yourself up. That's how it's going to work.
Like I said, folks, we can't have the crackhead showing people around the neighborhood. It can't be that. Can't be him or her.
So now we get the popcorn out. We sit and we wait.
Yes. And we watch. We watch for all the others who didn't click the link.
That's right.
So
there are others.
I have I think we should wrap up now.
Gina has a question.
Okay.
No, I already asked it. I did ask it. I wanted to ask you guys if doping ever crossed your mind.
Oh,
and it didn't for any of us, which is so ironic,
it's
isn't
ironic.
It?
But you know what, to be honest, we've been thinking about match fixing.
Yeah, we were tainted.
We're thinking about match fixing.
Thinking about Jero getting his fucking money.
Yes.
ATP. We've been brainwashed.
Yes.
So what are some of the funniest tweets you saw during this?
Funniest reaction?
Yeah.
Funniest reaction was, oh my God, she's been doping and she still can't beat Serena. That made me chuckle a little bit.
Oh man. Oh,
Sue McEnroe says she ought to check the packaging of the sugar pulver. Maria, it's got at least 12 bad substances, let's be honest. But it's interesting, I would say that, you know, reactions are divided down, I don't want to say a racial line or whatever, but are people who are somewhat, you know, conscious of a sort of, you know, the duplicity and hypocrisy of the situation. And we're right. I think Maria is getting a certain pass because not too long, I mean, like, this podcast is a year old, right? We're a year old. And within the last year while we were doing this, I think one of the first podcasts where Janina came on, we had a conversation about Wayne Odesnik's ban from tennis. Actually, he took himself out of tennis. And the reaction on how people treated that guy as if he was some kind of like
leper.
You know, leper. And, you know, everybody had a comment, the tennis establishment, the tennis players. I haven't heard people that are players yet. Well, quick to say shit. Only thing I heard up is from Jennifer Capriati. And, you know, we can't trust that girl with anything. Somebody please, Jennifer Capriati, homegirl, friends, mother, please take Twitter away from Jennifer Capriati. Get an Atari, okay?
Also, you know what? I like crazies because I think she says what, you know, I don't want to go into it, but I interviewed a player, a retired player several years ago. And, you know, it was actually, I think it was during the sort of Chilich time when people were wondering if he had been silently banned because he was allowed to kind of handle his potential suspension by withdrawing from Wimbledon and everything. And so that winter, I had the opportunity to speak to a bunch of retired athletes, and I asked him, I was like, what do you think about doping? Do you think it's happening? And he says, listen, my sense of it is that the athletes take themselves as close to the line as possible. Mm-hmm. Without going over it. If you know what I mean? That they get themselves to the edge. And so I think that's at play at all times. You know what I mean? It's like I think the ban list is a roving list. You know, one year it's something else on it. The next year you better pay attention because, because let's be honest, Maria was taking this drug, whatever its impact, for 10 years.
Awesome.
Yeah, she does. I'm not buying that. You know what? Because if you're a professional athlete and you're taking a drug for cardiac issues, For 10 years, you ain't got no major cardiac issues and you don't need drugs.
Oh, you need to check something else because the situation's not been resolved.
No, it doesn't work that way. She wouldn't be an elite athlete being able to perform this way with a malfunctioning heart. It just, your body, that's science. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, these are the things. So I'm just...
And Maria won her full majors from 2006 onward.
That's the sad thing, you know, but it doesn't matter in athlete's land because we've just had a whole discussion about the pod machine, and that is not illegal, even though it does similar things for the blood.
Let's draw back. I think the issue with the pod machine, the question that has been arised and the issue that's been arising is that It's not in and of itself, it's giving you increasing performance enhancing capabilities. It is alleged, and I'm going to put alleged with uppercase A, actually uppercase all the bloody letters, that it's a masking agent, that it gives you the ability to hide.
So it's a perception. It's a perception that it's helping you, whereas with meldonium, according to the research, they believe it has real impact and real effects. Okay.
All right. Let's wrap up with this. I was just reading an article on ESPN.com by senior writer Bonnie Ford, and I think this sums it up perfectly. Just to quote a little bit of it, she says, her admission almost certainly rules out any chance that she'll be let off the hook. The standard of strict liability remains a core concept of the WADA code. Failure to read the fine print is essentially a breach of contract. Of course, Sharapova is wealthy and smart enough to pay a posse of people to read those regulations for her. It's almost inconceivable that no one in her entourage backed her up on the play, but she blamed no one else.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it. Everybody, yeah. it's bullshit.
Because this is what I'm seeing. This person, I mean, I guess we're rehashing, but just whether, I mean, I'm just not buying this story one bit. Because this drug is only available in Latvia and in Russia. So it ain't that much research you gotta go check into, right? You know, like, it's an easy, but it's only there she's getting it.
Well, you know what? She'll have a chance. She will have a chance. She will have a fair chance to present her case. And
she already presented a case.
But you know what? Honestly, I think she's, and you know what? I think she is actually going to, I don't think she's going to feel the wrath of WADA.
I don't think she is. I think she's not.
Because I think, because I, the sense I'm getting from everyone, which is there's a gentleness to this. Mm-hmm. There's a wanting to forgive to this. There is an element of, like, you know, sadness about it. And realistically, there is, it's just the way it's been handled. You know, people love the handling of this.
That's all it is. That's all it comes down to. Because every other, I mean, think about what's her face? Marion Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out that she was doping, it didn't come from her.
No.
It always comes out first, and then the athlete speaks on it.
And then
always.
It looks bad. And then it looks bad.
So she said, we're going to do this different.
Yeah, I'm going to learn how to do it.
And it's working for her.
It's working.
Because she's getting a lot of sympathy from all around.
And a lot of respect for taking the hit, lot of respect for being an adult in the room, which, by the way, I called it the moment I saw the presser. I was like, this is going to play really well because she does all the things that you're supposed to do as an athlete. You can't blame anyone else because that makes it seem as if you are unapologetic about it. And you can't say that it was not your responsibility, you didn't read the fine print. She said she didn't read the fine print, and she takes 100% responsibility for it. She said,
I made a big mistake.
She said all the things you're supposed to.
But you see,
And unfortunately, what, Reels?
I mean, I guess, you see, as a person of color, I want to say, you know, then she sets the precedent and therefore everybody else below would have to get similar treatment, right?
Well, you have to do it. You have to follow this. You have to follow her protocol.
But it doesn't even matter if she followed the protocol or not. I mean, like, she took it. It had that effect for her.
We don't know what's going to happen because we've never seen this before.
There are other people who have been banned.
No, but we have never seen it. We're talking about the way she played it.
The perception of all of this. We've never seen this before, ever. And if it's happened, and I don't want to hear about some futures player or somebody in minor B baseball, a big, big star. Somebody tell me, a huge, multi, you know, huge, globally known name has come out and said, yes, I tested positive for doping before the media. We've never seen this, and if we have, I'm not aware of it. And like Reels, I am a huge follower of sports. And I'm telling you, this isn't the way it works. And that's why she is getting that sympathetic vote.
Because she was allowed to get ahead of it.
Exactly.
She's not coming
that
after.
Opportunity.
Yeah, she
gave her that opportunity.
Yes,
not that
and
she
you know what?
It for herself. They gave it to her.
And let us think about
don't
this.
Don't get that at all.
If because for anybody, everybody knows how incestuous tennis is and how everybody is connected. It stands out in my mind yesterday, a tweet that I saw from one journalist to another saying, I was told I don't want to miss this.
Yep, they know.
They knew.
They knew. Sorry. They knew.
Everybody worked together to make it look pretty. And it worked. It worked.
Because you know what? Because it's very, important. But listen, it's very important. Reels, we need you to move away from yourself and look at how it's playing. This is what we want you to do.
Oh, no.
How is it playing?
I understand the game. That's
help us deconstruct the game, Reels.
As I was watching the press conference, when she almost cried, I said, you almost got me. Stop. No, there is something. This doesn't smell right.
Mm-hmm.
This my spidey senses is tingling, and I'm about to shoot some web. I am not, but I know this was well crafted. In fact, people, you know what? How I knew it was well crafted? It's who I wasn't seeing in the room. It's who I wasn't hearing asking any questions.
Yeah, it wasn't the tennis media that jumped up with the question.
And they weren't there because you know why? Because they're in front of their computer already ready to press send with the story that they knew and already to craft. Yeah. They had their fingers on the Twitter button to tweet. And then they had a long form piece. Bet you're going to see a whole bunch of think pieces tomorrow if they already put up there in whatever the case
it be. Oh, yeah. Look, no doubt.
Tennis, I am so sorry to tell you. I know you wouldn't give two fuck what Real says. But I'm sorry. You have to treat Maria just like every other drug failer. And if it happened to Roger Federer, if it happened to Paul Venus, you have to treat them the same. Because you know why? Because I am going to fight for all the scrubs and wenches when you try to come down hard on those people. I will fight for them. Trust me. I will fight for them tooth and nail because it isn't fair. It isn't right. I know Maria is a big cash cow for you, but then you should tell your cash cow, eat clean grass and pee clean.
All right. That's your thing.
All right.
It's been real, people. We're always giving you complete and controversial coverage. And if you have any questions, tweet us. Sorry we couldn't put out our last podcast, but apparently this took over everything. And don't forget, please retweet podcast number 44. Jero needs his money, and so does everybody else from that Sao Paulo tournament. All right, ladies, good night.
Good night.
Good night.